Macmillan Audio presents Devils Kill Devils by Johnny Compton. Read for you by Imani Jade Powers. Chapter 1. She clicked the light switch on the hotel room wall, and in the infinitesimal space between the absence and arrival of light, a space undetectable to the mind, much less the eye, Sarita Bardalis saw someone who could not be in the room. A tall shadow standing near the window, featureless but facing her and Frank nonetheless, watching them enter. The shape disappeared before the click of the light switch left Sarita's ears, too quickly for anyone to have ever been there. Sarita told herself that it had been a product of her inebriation, but she had still recognized the man within the silhouette in the fraction of an instant it had appeared to her. She took this recognition as additional proof that she imagined it, imagined him. He had no reason to be there now, at the close of this perfect day. 6 months ago, after watching mutual friends suffer restless children, condescending relatives, and unhelpful friends at their wedding, with hypnotized smiles on their faces, Sarita and Frank promised each other that their nuptials and reception would be different. They would set rules and see to their own wants first, and anyone who wouldn't be happy to attend under their guidelines would be free to stay home. Sarita had gone so far as to co-author her maid of honor's brief speech, though that was primarily due to Tori admitting she was concerned about saying the wrong thing. Given Tori's state of mind the past few years, her obsessions with the flexibility of reality and the power of prayers and spells, Sarita thought it prudent to help Tori find words appropriate to the occasion. Frank's biological mother, Hera, took issue with their plans. She wanted to be first in line to dance with her son at the reception, but he had every intention of giving his stepmother, Misty, that honor. The latter had been in his life for 22 of his 27 years, during which time his birth mother had been fitfully present, which was arguably for the best. The faint scar that divided his right eyebrow and the deeper, curved, and jagged rows of scars on his left forearm strengthened that argument. Still, Hera had insisted on having the first dance because she was his real mother, and that, to her, was that. Frank told her he loved her, but she could either accept what he wanted or not attend. She formally declined the wedding invitation soon after, as did most of his family, save for his grizzled bulldog of an uncle, Everett, who attended as an ambassador of the Stallworth clan rather than an eager guest. Although he broke down as the reception ramped up and danced almost enough to make up for the rest of the family's absence. Sarita and Frank agreed it was all for the best. Simple resoluteness had guided them through a terrific day, an ideal day. Everyone in attendance, so far as Sarita could tell, had had a wonderful time. No stress, no pressure, no awkwardness, no drama. It had been, as she desired, a carefree celebration. Now the wedding was in their rearview mirror, overtly pleasant, colored in the warmth of a generous buzz. Just ahead of them, close enough to kiss, was their first night together as husband and wife. Frank brought her to the large bed, tried to set her down, but fell forward himself and pushed her away to keep from falling on her. She laughed so hard she briefly lost her breath. The shadow man she'd imagined a moment earlier was as close to forgotten as could be. She rolled toward Frank as he turned onto his back. "Next time," he said, "I think maybe we should go a little easier on the vino. Just a thought." Her fingers toyed casually with a lock of his brown hair. "Next time? Next time we get married?" He looked at her, his smile widened. "You know this is all a practice run, right? It has to be. People talk about the day they got married as being their best day, but it's not really supposed to be that. Nothing's ever this good. So we'll have to break up at some point and start this over."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?